So how do we learn to put our trust in the Lord? This seems to be a theme at play in today's reading. In our Old Testament reading, we continue in the narrative of King David. And as we see often in David's life, that there is both something that he does that is a sin for which he then repents. And so here we see his thoughtless taking of the census and then his thoughtful repentance. What we see in this story is a way in which David wants to be in control. He is aware of the enemies that surround him, and he wants to ensure that he will have the forces and able to counter that. And so as he counts the total number of his army, it reaches 1.3 million people. But then he is convicted that what he has done is actually contrary to what the Lord would want for him, because he was, so to speak, taking matters into his own hands. He was trying to control perhaps his own destiny and the destiny of the people who were God's special people. And as a result of this, we're told that he, David, acknowledges his sin. He is thoughtful in his repentance. But then we hear something very strange. A pestilence where 70,000 men are killed. And we think, why would this happen? And I think there's a dimension to it that we cannot yet fully see or understand, but that there is an interrelationship between David in his role as king and the consequences of his action and how they affect those under his rule and guidance. Indeed, at the end of the passage, he says, I alone have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? So even David himself ponders the consequence of his action. But that there's something else we also want to see with David, that David ultimately comes to a place where in the midst of all of what he's experiencing, he seeks to trust in the Lord. And this is an interesting point, that the place where he offers sacrifice is called the floor of Araunah, and it is here that is the place where the temple will ultimately be built. And at that very place, sacrifice will be offered. And close by to this place is where the Lord himself will sacrifice himself on Good Friday. So part of what we see in this Old Testament lesson is this understanding that the narrative of our lives are always interconnected one with another, and that there can be great suffering that results from that. And yet even in the midst of that suffering, God is at work to bring about a greater purpose. When we turn to our gospel, we see here the saving purposes of God being fulfilled. Here is Jesus in his hometown. Unlike David, who used his influence in self-serving ways, Jesus speaks and acts with a humble authority. And yet at home, he experiences disdain of those from his hometown. He was not able, as the text says, to do any deeds of power because of their lack of faith. Commentators have said that for David in our Old Testament story, his problem is also a lack of faith. Regretting his decision, he realized that he'd forgotten Israel's true strength, who was the Lord. Time and again, God had given the people victory, and time and again, David would doubt, but then return to the Lord. Indeed, we might experience something similar in our own lives. We too can become victim to David's temptation. Amidst life's uncertainties, it's natural to find ourselves engaged in various forms of counting. Do I have enough money, enough friends, enough clothes, enough possessions? And all of those counting questions that have to do with our desiring to find security are always an invitation actually then to turn to the Lord and to trust in him. Where do you perhaps find yourself counting without trusting? Maybe it's in an earnest attempt to become holier. But we can measure our worth in terms of external religious markers, the number of prayers we pray, how often I come to Mass, the extent of my charitable deeds, the size of my contribution to St. Vincent de Paul. And all of these, of course, can be important. But God does not measure our worth by them. He doesn't love you more if you do more. He offers each of us grace simply because he loves us. And as St. Paul says in Ephesians, that grace is immeasurably more than we can imagine. And so, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, may we see ourselves in David, but may we also see ourselves in the Lord's invitation to say, turn to me, trust me, and follow me. How true this was of St. John Bosco, today's saint, who through the course of his life in working with very troubled youth, he showed such courage, such innovation, to seek to always show the merciful care, the generosity, and the kindness of the Lord to those who were most disadvantaged, were most ostracized. And the effect of his ministry is one that touched the world in his day and still today. May we pray for the kind of faith that St. John Bosco so clearly illustrated. And so let's pray. Lord, give me more faith to believe that you are in control. Help me to trust you in all things. Amen.